It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. We are your public radio station. Our offices are up here on Signal Hill in Kodiak, Alaska. Up here on the hill, it's 32 degrees. Out at the airport, they're registering 28. Northwest winds to 6. Mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day today. West winds to 15, becoming light and variable this afternoon. But turning to the southwest tonight, they're predicting our low overnight tonight will only get down to 30. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, becoming sunny gradually as the day wears on. High near 36 tomorrow with westerly winds to 25. Coming up on the Midday Report, a nationwide threat of violence in schools posted on TikTok touches Kodiak. Representatives of the Nome Community Center are talking to the city about housing first to tackle their homelessness problem. And a report on how retailers in Anchorage are faring. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. White House officials are using dire language to describe the risk of the coming wave of COVID-19 cases from the Omicron coronavirus variant to people who are not yet vaccinated. But as NPR's Tamara Keith reports, the administration also says the U.S. has more tools to fight the spread of the virus than it did a year ago.
Officials are strongly urging people who qualify to get a COVID vaccine booster shot as soon as possible because Omicron is spreading fast. White House COVID coordinator Jeff Zients said this isn't a moment to panic.
We are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work and school for the vaccinated. We've done the right thing, and we will get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
The CDC also announced new recommendations for test to stay, which would allow children exposed to the coronavirus to stay in school as long as they wear a mask and test negative. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
President Biden may have to cross off Senate approval of a $2 trillion spending plan from his Christmas wish list. Facing GOP opposition in the evenly split Senate, he needs a Democrats' votes, but Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia is still opposed to the legislation. In another setback, the Senate parliamentarian has ruled that Democrats' proposal to give work permits to millions of unauthorized immigrants who've been in the country since 2011 does not fit within the rules. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says Biden's not giving up.
The president, the administration, our partners on the Hill vehemently disagree with this decision and will keep fighting to give relief and protection to the many dreamers, TPS holders, farm workers, and essential workers who are living in fear.
Psaki addressing reporters on Air Force One today as the president traveled to South Carolina to deliver a commencement speech at House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn's alma mater. At the event, Biden pledged shifted focus, rather, from the stalled spending legislation to voting rights. He pledged to continue fighting tougher voting restrictions passed by a growing number of GOP-led states. A man who assaulted police during the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was sentenced today to more than 5 years in prison. NPR's Tom Dreisbach has details.
Robert Scott Palmer used a wooden plank and fire extinguisher to assault police officers guarding the Capitol on January 6th. That day, he said he wanted to overturn the election and bring in the military to keep then-President Donald Trump in power. But at this sentencing hearing, Palmer told the court he was ashamed of his actions and said he would never go to another political rally in his life. Judge Tanya Chutkan said a 63-month prison sentence was proper in this case and would help deter future political violence. So far, more than 700 people are facing criminal charges stemming from the Capitol riots, and the FBI is still making arrests. Tom Dreisbach, NPR News.
It's NPR.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
Kodiak school officials say they're in touch with law enforcement after threats of violence surfaced on social media that are part of a disturbing nationwide phenomenon. Jeff Smith, assistant superintendent for Kodiak Island School District, says the superintendent decided to ask for increased police presence in Kodiak schools.
He made arrangements and contacted local law enforcement agencies, the Alaska State Troopers, the City of Kodiak Police, and then the military police as well, just so that they were also aware of this threat that came out at a national level.
The school district says it's responding to threats of violence in schools that have been posted on the social media platform TikTok. A TikTok post circulating around the country threatened violence in schools on Friday, December 17th, but did not mention Kodiak specifically. An email went out Thursday to Kodiak Island families saying that absences will be excused if parents want to keep their children home today.
It's unfortunate, and not just for our district, but it's unfortunate for other districts in our state and throughout the country at this time. This is a time of year that we really want to be together celebrating with our loved ones and our families and our students. And it's unfortunate that attention has to be drawn to something like this.
Schools around the country are taking precautions. Some school districts have canceled classes altogether. The Juneau School District is also increasing police presence in their local schools. Representatives of the Nome Community Center have a strategy to address the city's ongoing homelessness problem. KNOM's Sean Milligan has more.
It's called Housing First, and it's an approach initially proposed in the early 1990s. Nome Community Center Executive Director Rhonda Schneider explained the basic concept to the Nome Public Safety Advisory Commission last week.
When folks who are struggling and need supportive services around them, by providing stable, secure, safe housing first, then the other issues that are the causes for the homelessness are able to be dealt with.
NCC wants to build a complex of 15 studio apartments to house homeless people in Nome, but the physical structure is only part of the equation.
So we'll have a property manager on site, and then we'll have our clinic that provides medical and physical and mental health and individual counseling.
That's Liz Johnson, NCC's Housing and Homeless Prevention Coordinator.
We're going to have case manager that will be working with our clients every day to kind of keep them on track and make sure that they are getting the services that they need to be more successful. We want them to graduate into independence.
Johnson says a large portion of the project funding will come from the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's GOAL program. That stands for Greater Opportunities for Affordable Living. NCC is reaching out to local partners as well.
We've been talking to them, the city, Norton Sound Health Corporation, NSCDC, Sitnasauk Native Corporation, and Bering Straits Native Corporation about talking to them about how they can support this project.
Research shows that Housing First projects can help reduce the burden on public systems, such as law enforcement and hospital services. Juneau established a Housing First project called the Forget-Me-Not Manor in September of 2017. University of Alaska Anchorage professors Heidi Brocious and Morgan Erisman published a study on the Forget-Me-Not Manor last year. They found that residents visited the emergency room about 60% less often after moving in and had about 70% fewer contacts with law enforcement. Brocious says Juneau Emergency Medical Associates felt the project was a great benefit to their work.
They contributed $10,000 of their own funding to the expansion because they felt very strongly that that had improved how things were working out in the emergency room here in Juneau.
Brocious also says that while Housing First doesn't require residents to seek treatment for addiction or related issues, she saw many residents of the Forget-Me-Not Manor significantly reduce their alcohol consumption. And the reason, she says, is simple.
Think about the challenges that come with not having a place to sleep. You know, where do your resources go? Where does your energy go? How much stress that causes you? That's not an ideal environment to get healthy, physically healthy, substance abuse healthy, emotionally healthy. And so take away the stress of not having a safe place to be at night. And you invite opportunities for people to work on and focus their energies on things that allow them to get healthier.
Nome City Manager Glenn Steckman says this project is the latest in an ongoing effort to address homelessness in the city. The Nome Emergency Shelter Team operates seasonally during the colder months, and the day shelter run by NSHC has expanded into a new building. Steckman says Housing First is a step in the right direction, but cautions that it's not a perfect solution to Nome's homelessness problem.
But this is a piece of the puzzle that many feel, including myself, is a strategic way of addressing the homelessness issue and the mental health problems and alcoholism and substance abuse. It's part of a more comprehensive approach to dealing with it.
The Nome Community Center plan calls for a design phase to begin in January, with construction starting in May. The facility could be ready for residents in December 2023. Rhonda Schneider presented the plan to the Nome Common Council on Monday during the council's work session. Mayor John Handelin indicated that the council would schedule a vote soon so that the project can move forward. Reporting in Nome, I'm Sean Milligan.
It's the second holiday season of the COVID-19 pandemic. And while case rates are still concerning, and there's a new variant on the way, retailers in Anchorage are seeing an encouraging bounce back. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George visited the Diamond Center recently.
The Diamond Center is your classic American mall. Wide, echoey hallways lined with gift shops and clothing stores. There's an H&M, an Auntie Anne's Pretzels, a Hot Topic, a local comic book shop. There's even an ice rink in the atrium decorated with a Christmas tree, and holiday muzak plays wherever you go. Parker Helton is shopping for Christmas presents with his girlfriend.
Just stuff for each other, some like Harry Potter stuff. Stuff we're into.
Helton says he prefers shopping online for the convenience, but this year there are shipping delays and out-of-stock notices to contend with.
Yeah, we definitely ordered online first, but it doesn't seem like it's coming in time for Christmas, so we just came to get a few things.
Helton grew up making the drive to Anchorage from his home in Talkeetna fairly often, so he's done a lot of holiday shopping at the Diamond Center. This year feels a little different.
Feels kind of empty for it being around the holidays. Like, it's usually more packed, yeah.
It's a Monday at lunchtime, so not exactly peak shopping hours. The Mall Santa isn't set up to take photographs, and there are only a handful of skaters on the ice rink. But Logan Burke, marketing director for the Diamond Center, says in general, they've been busy.
You know, honestly, we are pretty excited to say that traffic levels are really returning to pre-COVID levels. Traffic has been very strong, especially on the weekends. I mean, you're gonna have to drive around a bit to find a parking spot.
Bert says shipping delays are one factor driving last-minute shoppers to the mall. Another is pent-up demand. He says online stores may have diverted more sales early on in the pandemic, but now people are looking to get back to in-person shopping.
There was a term in the industry called, like, revenge spending or revenge shopping because they weren't able to do it in person when we were locked down, and so everyone has the desire to do it now.
Anchorage resident Josh Brandstetter stopped into the mall during a work break to look for a Christmas present for his son.
I was going to get my son a Demon Slayer figurine because he loves the anime. And so he's super excited and I wanted to surprise him.
Brandstetter is vaccinated and got his booster, which he says makes daily interactions feel safer and more comfortable.
I did all my shopping online last Christmas. And I don't remember if shipping was hard back then, but I do remember things were so crazy that we didn't even get a lot of presents. And I don't know if that was shipping or not, but last year's Christmas feels like, I don't know, feels like a ghost.
Brandstetter isn't alone. Data show consumers are spending more this season than last year, according to John Bittner, director of the Alaska Small Business Development Center. That's despite the higher prices brought on by inflation. He says the increase is in part due to pent-up demand, but also wage increases.
You know, I mean, it sort of depends on what industry you're in, but generally speaking, most positions that are out there are paying more than they have in recent memory. I think some studies say that it's a 20-year high in terms of wage increases.
Safety concerns about COVID are still at play, but the vaccine has helped to lower that barrier, Bittner says. And that's good news for the local economy this holiday season.
I think there's a lot more interest in buying local. There's a lot more people pushing that message across a lot of different platforms. And people are, I think, looking for excuses to go out and sort of support their local businesses.
Logan Burt with the Diamond Center says as we near Christmas, in-person shopping should stay strong.
People like me who like to shop last minute, I mean, it's impossible to order online at this point because of being out of stock or not being able to get here in time. And so I think that absolutely drives traffic to places like this.
He says many of the mall's tenants are showing encouraging sales so far this season. More than half have even beat sales some months compared to 2019, before the pandemic. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
A new study shows retreating glaciers are likely to open up thousands of miles of salmon spawning habitat by the year 2100. And while that may sound like the distant future to us, it's the blink of an eye in geologic time. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
It's a rare sunny day in Juneau, and the Mendenhall Glacier glows blue under a blue sky. Cold air moves down the glacier and makes a chilly day even chillier.
I would say it's about maybe 6 degrees. It's pretty cold out here.
Aaron Hood teaches at University of Alaska Southeast, and he co-authored a study that maps where glacier retreat will open up new spawning zones for salmon over the next 75 years. And while the findings are new, the process isn't. It's already happened right where we're standing.
Today we're going to look at one of the streams here at the glacier that now has spawning salmon in it that didn't probably 100 years ago. This stream was covered by ice. So this is new habitat that's been opened up since the Mendenhall Glacier has retreated.
Technically, the stream, Steep Creek, is also covered by ice today. But it's not glacier ice. We can see some patches of dark flowing water where the current resists freezing. Under the snow, salmon eggs are nestled in the gravel of the stream bed. This is just a small example of what could happen on a much larger scale over the next 100 years, especially in the region between the Alsek and Copper Rivers. Deglaciation could increase salmon habitat by nearly 30% in the Gulf of Alaska by 2100.
As we look at the glacier now and you just think, oh, everything underneath that is sort of barren, unproductive land, which is true when the glacier recedes immediately after that. But in the longer term, it can develop into productive habitat.
The study shows that new rivers will be created. That leaves land managers to decide the future of what are essentially brand new ecosystems. The study looks at the ecosystems in terms of salmon, but there are other opportunities in the newly revealed Earth.
There are competing interests in some of these landscapes that are being opened up by glacier recession. And one of those interests might be the development of minerals.
Mining companies are staking claims on recently deglaciated areas, and in some cases, preemptively staking claims. That is, claiming glaciers with the knowledge that when they melt, they might uncover mineral-rich land. Hood says glaciers and the way they retreat have tremendous impact in Southeast Alaska, even here at this relatively small salmon stream.
This is obviously an important population for tourism, much more than a fishery, because this is probably the most common place that people come in Juneau to view salmon.
In 30 years, tourists who stand at the window of the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center probably won't be able to see the glacier itself. But if they stand by this stream, they're likely to see salmon and bears in the ecosystem the glacier left behind. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. A global surge in demand for Alaska sockeyes. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, high-quality video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
Seafood is Alaska's top export by far, and strong global demand for sockeye salmon has pushed prices to near record highs. It's also boosted paychecks to fishermen. A few weeks ago, both Silver Bay and Peter Pan Seafoods increased their base prices to fishermen to $1.45 a pound, a 20-cent increase from the summer, and even more for top-quality fish. That compares to a final price in 2020 of just $1.06. Abby Frederick is a spokesperson for Silver Bay, speaking to KDLG.
So now that we can see where it's at, where sales are going, and have a really confident look at where things are at, we're just excited to kind of celebrate that with our fleet.
Alaska's total 2021 sockeye catch was 57 million fish, with a preliminary value topping $361 million, more than 56% of Alaska's total dockside salmon value. Most of Alaska's fish goes to market in frozen, headed, and gutted form, and strong demand pushed wholesale prices this summer to $4.37 a pound, up $1.07 from last year. The increase was reflected at seafood retail counters this fall, where the fish were averaging $12.94 a pound, up nearly a dollar from 1 year ago. The market is tight, which underscores increased demand, said Andy Wink, director of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Bristol Bay's sockeye run this year was a record, topping 71 million fish, and it's projected to be even bigger in 2022. That could mean a catch of 60 million sockeyes. Wink told Seafood Source, if you line those fish up nose to tail, that's enough to encircle the entire lower 48 twice. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Hi, this is Monty from the Brother Francis Shelter. This time of year, lots of folks ask me, how can I help the homeless? Well, one way is a KMXD giving tree. Here's how it works. You stop in at KMXD and you'll find a Christmas tree with ornaments hanging on it that have an item of clothing written on them. Just take one or two with you, pick up the item, wrap it, and bring it back to KMXT. Santa will pick it up, and I'll make sure that it's handed out before Christmas at our Christmas party. Thank you for all your help, and have a nice holiday season.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Friday. It is the 17th day of December, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 9:50. It will set again at 4:21. That will give us 6 hours and 32 minutes of daylight, a loss of only 39 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 50 degrees. That was set in 1955 and 1984. And a record low was 1 degree, set in 1999. Currently 32 degrees outside the station here. We're looking for mostly sunny skies for the rest of the afternoon. West winds to 15, becoming light and variable this afternoon. For tonight, a chance of rain and snow showers after 4 a.m. as skies become increasingly cloudy overnight. We're looking for a low of only 30 overnight. Light westerly winds to 10 this evening. For tomorrow, chance of rain and snow showers before 7 a.m., so between 4 and 7 a.m. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 36 tomorrow, westerly winds to 15, increasing to 25 tomorrow afternoon. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide right now at 12:23 on the east side, a 9.4-foot tide. Our next low tide will be at 7:21 this evening of minus 3/10 of a foot, followed by a high tide at 1:54 a.m. of 7 feet, and our low tide for tomorrow morning here on the east side will be at 6:51 a.m. and be 3.3 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide is coming up at 12:58 p.m., almost 1 o'clock. That will be 14.7 feet in Larsen Bay. Your next low tide will be at 7:48 p.m., minus 9/10 of a foot, followed by a high tide at 2:06 a.m. of 12.2 feet. And your low tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will occur at 7:39 a.m. and be 4.2 feet. Mariners, here's your forecast from Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side offshore. Small craft advisory through Saturday with northwest winds to 20 today, seas to 8 feet. For tomorrow, westerly winds to 30, seas to 13 feet. Over in the Shelikof, small craft advisory tonight and Saturday. Westerly winds to 20 today, coming up to 25 and turning to the south tonight, seas to 6 feet tonight. For tomorrow, west winds to 30, seas coming up to 7 feet. The Kodiak History Museum's new exhibit, Making History Day by Day, Kodiak, Our Stories and the COVID-19 Pandemic, is now on view at the Best Western Kodiak Inn. Join the Kodiak History Museum at the opening event tonight between 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. at the KI to participate in a fun activity to contribute to the event. There will be the first of four events, and they'll be starting a sticker scavenger hunt this evening. Pick up your card, the first sticker, and return to each event to win a prize from the Kodiak History Museum. Call 486-5920 with any questions. There is a hockey game tonight and tomorrow night, the Kodiak Bears versus the Kenai Cardinals. Tonight, that's at 8 p.m. Tomorrow night, it's at 9 a.m. Well, I guess that's tomorrow morning. And they're both happening at the Baranoff Park ice rink, of course. Concessions will be open, cash and check only, though. Again, that's Friday at 8 p.m. tonight and Saturday at 9 a.m. Santa is coming to town. He will be in the Kodiak Middle School gym from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. tomorrow, followed by the Elks Lodge annual hoop shoot from noon to 4 p.m. Bring your Christmas list and your go-to sportswear for a fun-filled afternoon. For questions, call Orion at 539-2504 or send a direct message to the Kodiak Elks Facebook page. And tonight, the senior citizens of Kodiak and the Kodiak Area Transit System are having their annual Christmas light tour. You want to be at the center front door by 5:45 p.m. The tour begins at 6, but give them a call to make sure they have space. That's 486-6181, and they'll get you on the list officially. On Sunday, it's time for Skate with Santa. That's happening this next Sunday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Baranoff Park Ice Rink. Join Santa and friends for skating and hot cocoa, 6:30 to 8:30 on Sunday. Bring your friends and family to the Aleutic Museum this holiday exhibit. Matson has generously sponsored free admission for all of Kodiak through December 23rd. Everyone is welcome, and they're open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4 p.m., location 215 Mission Road. The Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary have put up their Angels of Love holiday trees at the hospital. Each angel placed on the trees bears the name of a person being honored or remembered. The angels remain on the trees through the holiday season and can be obtained for a $10 donation. All donations are placed in the Auxiliary's scholarship fund to offer scholarships for individuals pursuing a career in healthcare. You can make your donation at the hospital admissions desk or stop by their table at Safeway tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Also tomorrow at the Aleutic Museum, Susie Malutin and Emerald Isle Essentials will be the featured artists. She will be there from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Aleutic Museum tomorrow.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.